So our sugya this morning that we're going to focus on in the few brief moments that we have is the sugya of Lishma that you've been learning in your Mar Makomos. And as you'll see as it develops, we want to think about this sugya specifically now as we approach the Yom Noraim. Now, you're going to wonder, how did we get from the first Mishnah in Zvachim to Yom Noraim? So that'll be our goal for the day. So the din of Lishma, of having proactive intent for the destination of, in our topic today, Karbanos, appears, that, as you know, on the first page, you saw in the Mishnah, in Zvachim and Vav Medbeis, where the Mishnah tells us, L'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbach. There are six kavanas that the Kohen HaOved, the person who offers the Karban, is supposed to have when they offer the Karban. So this is a chiyuv. Maybe it's called a chiyuv, maybe it's called a mitzvah. It's a requirement. It's a proactive requirement that the person who brings the Karban has to have in mind. L'shem zevach, L'shem Zoveach, L'shem Hashem, L'shem Ishim, L'shem Reach, L'shem Nichoach. Those are the six things, and Rashi enumerates what each of them means, that you have to, let's say, if you're bringing a Shlomim, you have to have Kavana, that should be a Shlomim, you shouldn't think that it's a Chatas, you shouldn't think that it's an Ola. If you're bringing Chatas Ruven, you should think it's Chatas Ruven, not Chatas Shimon. All of these proactive requirements of Lishma. This is the Beferish of Mishnah that you have here in the end of the fourth parak in Zvachim. But it's not just an obligation, it's also a psul. If you were mechashev shelo lishmo, which is the next page, the page number 2, that's the first Mishnah in Zvachim, kol hazvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman, k'sheira elo shelo olo l'baylam l'shem chova. If for some reason, and the Gemara later on discusses, if this happened accidentally, that's Akira Batos, by accident. Let's assume it was intentional. For whatever reason, you decided this carbon is supposed to be a shlomim, you're going to make it an ola. You're going to be makarvit l'shem ola for the four avodas hadam. You're going to do that l'shem ola. So the Mishnah says you have a problem. You have, to a certain degree, you have ruined your carbon. It says lo ola l'bayim l'shem chova. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that if it's a Pesach or a Chatas, the carbon is actually completely puzzle. It's totally useless. It's ruined. So on the one hand, Lishma is an obligation. On the other hand, it's also an essential ingredient. And if you did it Shelo Lishmo, you've either not fulfilled the neder or the obligation that you took upon yourself, because you have to bring another one, or if it's a Chatas or a Pesach, you have actually disqualified your Karban completely. So that's the requirement that the Mishnah sets out for us. And as you saw, the Rambam paskins this on page number 3. The Rambam, first in Hilchos Ma'aser Karbanos, tells us, Kol hazvachim tzorech ha'oved shetiyah machshavoso l'shem hazevach l'shem baylov b'shas zvicho b'shas kabbalas adam b'shas holochas adam b'shas zvikaso. The Rambam identifies what are the four avodos adam, the four key components of every karban that have to do with the ritzui, the accomplishment of the kapara, or the successful offering of the karban. Those have to do with the blood. So that is either going to be the shchita, where you remove the blood from the animal, the kabbalas adam in the kli sharis, walking the dam, which is a questionable avoda, but the Rambam counts it because we count it. That's number 3. And number 4, sprinkling the blood. So the Rambam quotes a pasuk, shenemar ubisar zevach todas shlomav, shetia zvicha im shar avodas ha'arba l'shem shlomim. So this is the Rambam paskening the first halacha, and then the Rambam elaborates further, v'chein shar karbanos, and so too with the other karbanos. And then he tells you the din of stam lishma, which also comes up in the beginning of Zvachim. And then Rambam elaborates further to the full 6 things in halacha yiralech. Yiralef tzvitzorch shetia machshavasu b'shash chita saola l'shem shisha dvarim, and he counts them. And the mafarshim here discuss why the Rambam used the word ola. What about chatas? It's the whole this whole Rambam yud and yiralef is very fascinating, but it's not really for today's full in depth discussion.
There's 2 players here. There's the ovid, the kohen.
Yes.
And there's the
bath. Very good. So the Gemara discusses. So the Gemara has discussed it. There's a machlokas in the Tanaim. Does the Bailam have any effect once he gives it over? You know, the Bailam, of course, has the effect when he endows the carbon with Kedusha. The Bailam will say, he'll be makdish the carbon. He'll say, Hare zu olai ola. Or Hare, Hare zu shlomim. If it says olai, then it's a a neder. If he says harizu, then it's a nidava. That endows the carbon with what's called kedushas haguf. That now the animal has inherent kedusha. But after he's makdish a kedushas haguf, he gives it to the kohen. And the kohen, by offering it, when he shechts it, that endows it. This is where Rav Schechter explains it. That's the way he endows it with kedushas carbon. With nafkaminas, but not for today. So there is one opinion who says that the machshava of the Oved is still effective, but we don't paskin that way. We paskin that once he gives it, he's makdish the behema, he gives it to the kohen, now the kohen has all the responsibility, and the Baalim can think whatever they want, it's too late for them. They're off the hook. They're off the out of the picture.
What if the Oved changes it?
So that's exactly the discussion here. If the Oved has a machshavas shinoi hashem, he changes it from a shlomim to an ola, so that's what the Mishnah says. He's damaged the carbon, and if it's an ola, it no longer fulfills the obligation of the first guy. And the Gemara in Gittin has discussion about this: who's monetarily responsible? Who's on the hook for that? Because what kind of damage is that? It's a strange kind of damage. I damage your property in an imperceptible way, right? I'm a Kohen. The Gemara even wants to know: how do you even know that I did it? We'll get to that in a little bit. How do you even know if I were the Kohen Oved? Were you there? You weren't even there in the Beis HaMikdash. You went home already. Or if you were there, did you hear me? Or did I have it in my mind? We'll get to that in a little bit. But
the Benim not must be in the Mikdash?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It depends if you have to have smicha, if you have to have, you know, not necessarily. Not bi'ikaron. Bi'ikaron, the Kohen does his job and that's it. So the first Rambam is following the first thing that we said, which was that there's a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to do a lishma. And then the Rambam in Psulei HaMukdashim, which is another section of the Rambam in the book of Avodah, the Rambam has one section about what you're supposed to do and another section on what you're not supposed to do. So that's on page 5. The Rambam tells in Hilchos Psulei HaMukdashim, Sholosh machshavos hein sheposlenes hakarbonos. There are three machshavos that ruin the carbon. What are those? Machshavas shinei hashem, machshavas hamokom, machshavas hazman. We're not going to talk about the last two. But the first one the Rambam says is, if you change the name of the carbon. It was supposed to be an ola, you made it a shlomim. It was supposed to be a chatas, and you made it something else. So here you see, again, that there is an obligation and an effect, a psul, and the Rambam tells you, in Hilchos Ma'aseh Karbanos, here's the way you're supposed to do it, and here's what happens if you did it wrong. Okay? So this idea of the concept of Shalo Lishmo also appears in the beginning of Menachos, which is the first Mishnah Menachos on page 6. But in, later on in Menachos, Tosfos draws upon this halacha in a very interesting context. Tosfos is discussing the manufacturing process of Tcheles, which is the Gemara here that you have Membeis and Midbeis in source number 7. The Gemara is discussing how you manufacture tcheles and how do you know that it's a good batch. So the Gemara says, well, there's something called te'ima. You'll have a little test tube to figure out if it's a good batch of tcheles. The Gemara says, whoa, be careful. You're going to have to take the sample away from the original vat. You have a gigantic vat of tcheles dye, the dye itself, which we're not talking about today what that is, but it might be from the Murex trunculus. So you have a big vat, you have to take off a little bit, and then you can test it. The Gemara says, well, because if you take the test dye and you put it back in, you've now ruined all of your dye. Why? The Gemara says, oh, because tzitzis have to be done lishma. It has to be for the purpose of tzitzis, not for the purpose of testing. You want to do a chemical test? Gesunte hate, but it's got to be on your cheshbon. So Tosfos raises the question, well, wait a minute. Why don't we do this? Why don't you have kavana? I'm going to make this batch for tzitzis and for testing. For both. So Tosfos says, well, wait a second. I have a model for this. Don't you remember, so says Tosfos, don't you remember the first Mishnah in Menachos? The Mishnah Menachos said, if you have a double machshava, a mixed machshava, one of them which is bad and one of them which is good, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said it's bad. If you have your mincha and instead of having kavana, let's say, for the minchas chote that it is, you had a minchas nedava and a minchas chote, you had both, it's no good. So Tosfos here, if you look on page 7, he says, va'afilu l'shem tzitzis, says Tos on the bottom of page 7, Mem Beis and Mem Beis. Even if you had kavana for both l'shem te'ima and l'shem tzitzis, mikol makom l'shem nisayon nami avida v'have kemincha shekomtza l'shma v'shelo l'shma. It's like you have a mixed machshava, and that's no good. So Tosaf says, oh, it's not just the din and kachim, you can apply it elsewhere, because you have ruined your batch. So this is very controversial. Because until now, we've been talking about the obligation and the psul of lishma in the world of kachim. Tosaf says, oh, you can apply it outside. Well, wait a second. Is it so simple that you can apply the laws of kachim to the laws of tzitzis? Who says? That's a big assumption. Well, the assumption is predicated on the idea that these two halachas are going to be the same. If you have lishma in kachim, and you have lishma in kol ha'Torah kula, so lishma sounds like lishma. Is that really true? When you talk about lishma in kachim, what does it really mean? So the Briska Rav, on page 8, in the Chidushim Maran Riz HaLevi, on that Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aser Kabanos, he says, I got to tell you something. He says, in my assessment, there are two dinim when it comes to lishma and kachim. One is the regular din that you should have lishma, and the other din is that there is a machshava haposeles. We said there were two Rambams, one in Ma'aser Kabanos, one in Psula Mukdashim. There were two Mishnayos, one in the fourth parak, one in the first parak. The Briska Rav says, because there are two dinim. One is the din that you're supposed to do at lishma, and the other is a special din in kachim that if you did it shelo lishma, you broke it. Special din. Usually you might say, I'm supposed to do it lishma. I didn't do it lishma. Does that mean that it's broken? I'm missing the lishma. The Briska Rav says, that's only din number one. Din number two is that if you did it shelo lishma, it's not just that you're missing lishma, it's that you broke it because you did it shelo lishma. That's a machshava poselis. That's the chiddush of the Briska Rav. And based on this articulation, I'm not sure, I can't say historically the fact, but I suspect that maybe the Briska Rav got this from when he was growing up at the dinner table. Because on the next page, in page number 9, you have a selection from the Kovetz Shiurim. The Kovetz Shiurim were Shiurim that were written down by the students. He himself did not author the Kovetz Shiurim. They were edited and written up by the students of the late Gaon and the Tzaddik, Shem Yikom Domo, Zchus Yagon Aleinu, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman was the Rosh Yeshiva in Baranovich. He was very close to the Chafetz Chaim. He was killed by the Nazis when they came to Lithuania in 1941. So he himself published a few things during his lifetime, the Kovetz Ha'aros and his Tshuvas HaRashba, but his students published a lot of his shiurim. He was a student before he became a great Rosh Yeshiva. He was very close to many of the great Gedolim. He was a student of Reb Chaim. And he says, Reb Chaim was the father of the Briska Rav, Reb Velvel. He says, Reb Chaim did not agree with this Tosfos. Reb Chaim says, I don't understand this Tosfos. Why not? Because Reb Chaim says, you can't compare Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo in Kachim to other areas of Halacha. Because Lishma and Shelo Lishma in Kachim is a special din. Who was the one who said that same idea? The Briska Rav. I bet they discussed it at breakfast one day. They said the exact same yesod. The father, Reb Chaim, and the son, Reb Velvel, they said the same thing, which is that in Kachim, when you do something Shelo Lishmo, you break it. In Kol Torah Kula, if you do something Shelo Lishmo, it's just the absence of Lishmo. But comes Rabbi Elchanan and he says, I'm not so sure I agree with that. And this becomes an unresolved debate. Rabbi Elchanan says, that's not necessarily true. It could be that in the world of Kachim also, the reason why it's pasul is because it's lacking Lishma. And the din is, when it comes to a karban, you have to infuse it with Lishma. And if you didn't do that, you're missing out. So what we have here is a machlokas in the Achronim as to whether or not the din of Lishma and Kachim is unique, it's special, and you can't learn to anywhere else. Or no, it's not unique. It's like every other din of Lishma. And it happens to be that in Kachim, if you lack Lishma, it's really serious. So what's the nafka mina between these machlokes? So of course, the first practical nafka mina is the Tosfos. If you make tzitzis with a mixed machshava for purpose of tzitzis and something else, according to Reb Chaim and the Briska Rav, they say, That's not a problem. You didn't ruin anything because you can't ruin in other places. You had a mixed machshava. The machshava that was good, that's enough. Your tzitzis are good. Whereas, according to Rabbi Chana Wasserman, he would say, like Tosfos, that you ruined your tzitzis. Because just like in Kachim, it's no good, in Kol Torah Kula, it's also no good. Two other nafkaminas. One is source number 10.
Part, like you said before, if the part of the whole thing, the Shema has to be part of the Yotze, the mitzvah,
yes,
then it counts. If you could do the Masa and it counts even though you didn't have the Shema.
So what Oren is pointing out is that in every area of halacha, you have to figure out how essential is the lishma. Because the Gemara does say there's something called stama lishma. So here you get into the weeds a little bit about, does stama lishma means it's as if you had lishma, or it means you don't even need lishma? So that's one question. But what we're saying now is that there's a fundamental machlokas that according to the Briska Rav, you have lishma, just you broke it. Whereas, according to Rebbe Elchanan, you don't have lishma. It's just the absence of lishma, which is a problem. But in other areas of halacha, if let's say if you have a mixed machshava, so then it's going to be comparable. You're going to consider it that you don't have it. You hear the distinction? Or does somebody want to maybe reiterate this one before we move on to the nafkamina? Yeah.
I think that in all the Torah, if a man, for example, do tzitzit for something bad, that's not good. But if he do that for something lo lishma, for example, to do the experience and also for tzitzit, that's good and bad. And in the other Torah kula, that's enough. In korbanot, that's not enough. That's what
Reb Chaim exactly.
That's Reb Chaim, but Rabbi Elchanan said no. That's as in korbanot, a little machshava not good machshava is canceled all the korban. Also in tzitzit.
Exactly. That's the machlokas. Can you compare? So here's another nafkamina, which is the Shita Mekubetzes in the name of the Ritva on page 10, which is, wait a second, when we say that you have to have a machshava lishma, is that something you have in your mind, or you have to verbalize it? Do I say, as a Kohen, do I say this is Chatas Ruvain or Chatas Shimon? Do I have to say that? And a shalol lishma would mean, I would actually have to say Chatas Ruvain, which is what it is, I have to say l'shem Chatas Shimon, or is it just enough in my mind? So the Gemara discusses this concept, so to speak. The discussion comes up in Bava Metzia on the concept of Shlichus Yad. Steve lends me his phone and he says, I'm going away, please be a shomer on my phone. So I see his phone looks really good. So at what point do I violate my Shmira? Do I become essentially a thief when I decide to use your phone when you're not looking? Is it that when I actually start using your phone, or when I think HaChoshev L'Shloach Yad? So Beis Shammai says, the minute I think, oh, I like that phone, I'm going to use it, now I'm already Shloach Yad B'Kavon. So the Rishonim there, Rashi and Tosfos, and many Rishonim say, oh, does that mean I have to think it, or do I have to say it? So the Ritva says, well, you know, in the world of Kachim, you have to say it. So too here, you have to say it. Just like in Kachim, Shalol Shmo, you have to say it, which is an assumption, 2 days in Tosfos. But wait a second, what's the Ritva's basis for his logic? Is that you can compare stealing your Shmira, right, stealing your phone, to the world of Kachim. But according to the Briska Rav, you can't compare those two. What does Kachim and the din of Shalol Lishmo have to do with Shlichus Yad? It could be that in Kachim you have to have a Dibur, and Shlichus Yad maybe you don't have to have a Dibur. Because Shlichus Yad, that's not the same concept. You can't compare. And here's one more nafkamin on page 11.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Right. So Shmuel is raising a good question, which is, wait a second. So why is that when it comes to, generally speaking, the world of Geneva, we never discuss the concept of Machshava? The answer is because when it comes to Geneva, usually you need a Maisa. I need to do something to remove it from your property to bring it into my property, and that action is the Maisa Geneva. What's happening here is different, because since I'm a shomer, I'm holding the phone already. When I received the phone as a pikadon, that wasn't a Maisa Geneva, that wasn't an act of theft, that was a legitimate transaction. So the question of Machlokas that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing is, at what point do I go from being a shomer to a ganav? Because it's already in my rishus. Usually to become a ganav, you need to take it out of somebody's rishus and bring it into my rishus. Here it's unusual circumstance because it's already in my rishus. So Beis Shammai says, the minute I think I'm a ganav, well now I'm a ganav, because I'm holding it b'toras geneva. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no. If I didn't use it yet, in reality, it's your phone, it happens to be in my property, and I'm thinking, I'm looking, I'm planning, but lemaisa, if I didn't use it yet, it's still in the state of an original pikadon.
What if so I said I'm going to use it, and I haven't used it? So now...
So again, that's the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel.
It's not thinking, it's talking.
So according to Beis Shammai, I said it, certainly according to these Rishonim who think that you have to say
you,
it.
You already started.
So then, but according to Beis Hillel, no. I could say it from today till tomorrow, lemaisa, I didn't use your phone. Here's one other nafkamina, which is, and you have this sometimes, this is a rush in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Quotes Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the early Baal Tosfos of Vermaisa. He's mesupak nistapik im tzarech lohotzi besfasav shuma avdo l'shem Sefer Torah. Or l'shem tefillin, or saga machshava. When a sofer writes a Sefer Torah, do they have to say out loud l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah, l'shem kedusha? Think about that. I grew up in a shtibol where we used to bake matzahs in Erev Pesach. So there is a discussion in Hilchos Pesach about matzahs. I don't know if anybody ever had this experience about baking matzahs lishma. There's a whole discussion about what the nature of lishma is in matzahs. Is it just that it shouldn't become chametz, right? Matzah shmur that shouldn't become chametz, or is there actually a proactive din that needs to be matzah shmur lishma? And I still remember as a kid, everybody's yelling l'shem matzahs mitzvah. So why are they doing that? The reason they're doing that is because, wait a second, if in Shlichus Yad you need a dibur, and that's based on kachem requiring a dibur, so if you need lishma for matzah, you should also be yelling l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Now, whether you need that me'ikar adin, but that's the reason why people are doing that. They're yelling l'shem matzah's mitzvah, Yiddish and English. They're yelling that because they want to have this idea that you're going to infuse the lishma with a dibur, just like we have in other areas of halacha. So these are nafkaminas of this question about whether or not lishma and kachim is unique, or lishma is the same as kol Torah kula. What's very interesting, though, is that we don't always require lishma in our avodas Hashem. The Gemara tells us on page 12 in Maseches Pesachim, "Damar Rav Yudah Marav." Le'olam yasuk adam b'torah mitzvos af al pi shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. A person should always, le'olam, should always engage in Torah and mitzvos. And you notice this Gemara is not just Torah, it's Torah and mitzvos. Shelo lishma. Not for the pristine motivation of what you call Torah lishma, see Reb Chaim V'loshener in Nefesh HaChaim. It's not just all about lishma. It's also shalom lishma. So that means, at an educational level, it means giving motivation. Sometimes it's intrinsic motivation, and according to the Rambam writes elsewhere, that it's also extrinsic motivation. Whether it's candy, or kavod, or I don't know, whatever other motivations we come up with, shalom lishma is also okay. It's interesting. Your avodas Hashem, it's okay if it's shalom lishma. And the Rambam paskins this on page 13. The Rambam paskins this in Hilchos Tshuva. Way at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Yud Halach Ei, the Rambam says, "Kolo osig b'torah kedei lekabel schar o kedei shelo tagia." What's that? Edyo puranios harize osig ba shelo lishma. V'kolo osig ba lo liyir v'lo lekabel schar elam bnei avas ha'odon kolo oretz shetziva ba harize osig ba lishma. And what do the Chachamim say?
Does he get
sahar?
That's a question.
Yes, you do. Now, you're not going to get the same sahar as somebody does it lishma, but the Rambam says you should do it shalol lishma. So even though maybe, and now you could see how there's a sliding scale here, in the world of kachim, which is in the most intense interaction that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam, we are held up to the highest scrutiny, even in our mind. If you're shalol lishma in kachim, you're ruined. In shar kalatara kula, in mitzvos, maybe there's sometimes a requirement lishma, maybe it's not. Maybe it's similar to comparable to kachim, but maybe it's not. But in general, in avodas Hashem, lishma is not essential. And it's okay even to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalol lishma. So the Gemara says, why? Because shalol lishma is mevili de lishma. And the question is, well, how did they know that? What's the basis of that argument? Don't worry, we really want to do Avodas Hashem Lishma, but it's a concession. We'll do it Shalol Lishma because one day you're going to get there. Who told Chazal that they should have that confidence that they're going to say, don't worry, do it Shalol Lishma because you're going to get to Lishma? Yeah.
Isn't there not different planes? The Lishma that the Gemara and Kash was talking about is a Lishma, mitzvah specific. You make sure you have the right das, the right korban, or the right violin. Here we're talking about a deeper level of, am I doing it for the sake of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, or am I doing it for the sake of getting kavod? I mean, theoretically, you can bring in a korban and say, am I bringing the korban for the right violin, for the right whatever? But I'm also, because I want to be the Shemitz Kohen, I'm the best guy who brings the best korbanos.
Right, so I would say, this is my, could have transitioned by saying, this is my homiletical jump now, from the world of halacha to the world of agada. Exactly. Although the Rambam does quote this as a halacha, so it's not just agadata. So you're right, it's a different kind of lishma, but it's the Chazal using the same word, so I'm borrowing the term to expand it. So I wonder if the reason why Chazal were so convinced that if you start a kid out, and we're all growing in our Avodas Hashem, and give us external motivation, we're going to grow into something better, is because they knew what we have deep down. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, in page 14, in Perek Beis Halacha Chav, talks about a recalcitrant husband. You have a husband who doesn't want to give his wife a get, so we have a problem. On the one hand, only the husband can divorce his wife, and that bill of divorce has to be given willingly, volitionally, has to be l'ritzono. So the Rambam says, you know what we do? Kofinoso achiyo merotzani. The Jewish Beis Din will encourage him, Chicago style, let's make sure that he will be rotze to give this get. So they, in the old days, and today I'm not going to get into different methods that are used, we use whatever methods at our disposal to impress upon this person that we're going to take him out back behind the barn and really give it to him until he gives his wife a get. So the Rambam says, I don't get it. How can you do that? You know when he says rotzani, when you drag him back into Beis Din, you know he doesn't want to do it. So the Rambam says something unbelievable. He says, you know why a person doesn't want, God forbid, if he doesn't want to give his wife a get? Zeshein rotz legarish, me'achash hu rotz elios mi'yisrael, rotz hu lasus kol ha-mitzvos l'srachik men ha-veros. He really wants to do the right thing. He really wants to follow in the path of their bonus home. But what? V'yitzro hu shetakfo. His yitzhara got the best of him. So you know what we're going to do? The Rambam says, v'kevan shehuka, we're going to beat it out of him. So now we subdued his Yetzirah. We beat the Yetzirah out of him. Va'omar rotzani kvar gerish l'ritzono. What the Rambam says is deep down, every person really wants to serve their Baruch Shalom. We have what the Balat Tanya, the Alter Rebbe writes on page 15. Tochu rotzav ava misuteres. Shehi ava hativis shebenefesh alokis. There is a hidden love that each one of us has for the Ribbono Shalom, deep down within us. We really, if we drill down, we really have a neshama that just can't wait to serve Hashem Lishma. Sometimes we get distracted. So the Rambam says, we take the husband and we remove all of those distractions and impediments in various ways. And that brings him back to his true self, which is doing what is expected of him by the Ribbono Shalom. So maybe this is why Chazal say, if you have a person who does it shalol lishma, they're going to be mevili de lishma, because what you're doing is you're drilling down deep. You're not necessarily doing it for the right reason, but you're habituating yourself to be an Ovid Hashem. And you're breaking away that Yetzer Hara that stands between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and really stands between us and our true selves. So Chazal said, don't worry. Do it shalol lishma, because eventually you're going to get to Lishma. How eventually you're going to get to Lishma? Because eventually you're going to get to your true self. You're going to get to your true self who wants to serve Hashem Lishma. It's hard. But if we keep at it long enough, even if it's Shalom Lishma, we're going to get to the Ava Mesuteris, to the real Lishma. And isn't this what we're going to tell the Rabbona Shalom in a very short, brief period of time? When we come to him on the Yom HaDin and the Yom HaKadosh, we're going to say, Rabbona Shalom, we just want to quote you the Rambam. We're just going to come to Rabbona Shalom with the Rambam. We're going to say, look, a lot of things got in our way this year. Yitzro Tokfo. But we both know that Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzoncha. Deep down, we want to be Oved Lishma. We have that Lishma within us. We have that Ava HaMesuteris. So maybe this year, sometimes our carbon, our kachim was Shalom Lishma. Maybe it was not always L'Ratzon. Maybe it had a mixed Machshava, Lishma and Shalom Lishma. Sometimes it was Lo Olu L'Bailam L'Shem Chov, and sometimes it was Pasul L'Gamri. But we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we repair this relationship every single year, and we say to him, really, we really want Lishma. Right? Isn't that what we're going to say on Rosh Hashanah? We really want to do all the mitzvos, and we want to do them Lishma, because we have an Ava HaMesuteris. And hopefully, with the Chesed, Bechested, V'rachamim, the Rabbanu Shalom will say to us, you're right. These are just separate impediments. And it won't take, God forbid, any Yisurim or anything else for us to be able to tap into the real Ratzon HaPanimi. The Chazal say, we want to do it Lishma. And hopefully, through that, next year, we'll be able to build greater Lishma and greater Avodas Hashem into our lives together.